Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, April 2nd, 2018. And with me today, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
Well, I'm good, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, I'm glad you're here too. How are you?
I'm also good, and also thanks for having me.
Thank you for making the time to be here, both of you. I do appreciate it. And since I know the three of us, we tend to have a lot of words, let's just hop right into it. And let's start with the news that could have potentially been an April Fool's joke, but it wasn't. And it's that Cloudflare has set up a new DNS server that the number is 1.1.1.1. And the idea is they want to do more to help protect our privacy online. And that's exactly what this new server thing is all about. And what I want to do is kind of sort through, for people that don't understand, what exactly is a DNS server and why something like this matters. So, Dave, can I put you on the spot and ask you to explain what a DNS server is?
Sure. When you visit a site like www.macobserver.com, your computer doesn't actually connect to a site named that. It first goes and it needs to translate that into an IP address, either an IPv4 address or an IPv6 address these days. But it needs to, that's how all the routing on the internet happens, is by IP addresses. And a domain name server, a DNS server, does exactly that, and only that, really. Your computer, you don't do it, although you could. You plug your computer, it says, go translate www.macobserver.com into its IP address. A domain name server goes and figures that information out, and we'll sort of get into how that happens, and then returns, hopefully, an IP address that your computer and or browser can just go and do, go and connect to. That's what it does.
So it's the translation tool.
It's the lookup tool.
The lookup tool. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is something that everyone's using, even if they don't realize it, every time they go to a website.
All the times. Yeah. Including when you go to a secure website, right? So if you go to, you know, www.citibank.com or city.com, I guess either one, even though your traffic to your bank is encrypted once that connection with your bank is negotiated, it negotiates the HTTPS connection, and then all the traffic that's sent between you and your bank is encrypted. However, the DNS lookup that you did is not, and anybody watching that network, or certainly anybody running that network, would know that you sent a DNS query out to find out the IP address of Citibank. More than that, even most of the time when you connect to a network, you are connecting to a local DNS resolver. So you wind up just getting auto assigned the closest DNS server, often right in the router, like at your house. Your router is doing DNS resolving and some forwarding, where it's not actually a authoritative DNS server for much of anything, except maybe on your local network. So it goes out and finds who is the authoritative for, say, Citibank or Mac Observer, gets the information from that, and then usually caches it locally so that if somebody else or you looks it up again in the next hour or something, it has the answer. It doesn't have to go look again. But when you're at a coffee shop or something, it's the local router that's doing DNS serving for you and doing DNS lookups. So somebody could have all that information and do whatever they want with it, even if all your connections are secure.
Okay. So that's a key thing right there. Meaning when I go to the coffee shop or their parent company can be keeping track of all the websites that I'm requesting.
Correct.
And to take that a step further, and Brian, I'm sure this is the part that's just going to make you happy as can be. My internet service provider, who of course wants me to use their DNS servers, would then be harvesting all of that information to use as they please.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. When I say you look up directly with your router, Your router then looks up to the IP address of the DNS server that it's been assigned, which by default is your ISP's. Because again, in general, that's not necessarily, it's done for efficiency as well as any other reasons, but you want to be looking up from a server that's fast. And so oftentimes the server that's fast is one that is close. So looking up from your ISP server makes a lot of sense, because that way the traffic doesn't have to go out onto the public internet and be slowed down by just multiple routing hops and all of that. So it's not the foundation of all of this is definitely not nefarious. But like a lot of things, you know, these things were created to be. Yeah, they were created to be functional and simple. And sometimes, like we've seen with email, like it used to be such that anybody could send email out through any server that existed out there, because why wouldn't you? Well, then spammers started. It's like, okay, well, now we need to. Now that's why we don't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. So then that brings us back to Cloudflare and other services that are outside of like our internet service provider that let you do DNS lookup. So if I add in my own DNS servers, like, and when I say my own, ones that I want to use that are not my ISP, does that sidestep my ISP?
Yes.
So, before Cloudflare came along with their new DNS servers, I had put OpenDNS in, I put their numbers in as mine.
Sure.
So then that meant all of my website IP address requests were being handled by OpenDNS.
Which is handy. Yeah.
Yeah. And my ISP wouldn't see those.
Your ISP would not be handling those. I don't want to say they wouldn't see them. If they're looking at your traffic, they could see that you are sending DNS requests, because they all happen in the clear, to OpenDNS's servers. So they certainly could be aware of what you're doing.
Okay. So they could be aware, but they're just not getting all that data. Okay.
Well, being aware could mean getting that data, but they are not handling the request.
All right. Well,
it's one step removed.
Yeah.
But it's still happening.
Okay. It could still be happening. They could still be monitoring that. Yeah.
Well, then
I don't think they are, to be perfectly honest,
but they could.
Yeah.
Okay. So are either of you familiar with the term DNS over HTTPS?
I am not.
Say this again. Ask that question again.
Are you familiar with the term DNS over HTTPS?
Yeah. I've never used it, but yes.
And well, I think the reason you've never used it is because doesn't it have to be supported at the browser level?
Yeah, it does. This is where the browser is doing its own DNS lookups, right? Over a secure connection.
Right. And okay. And that's something that Cloudflare's DNS service supports. So,
but none of our browsers do.
But it's an open standard, from what I understand. Yep. So it could be incorporated into software updates, and then we would have a way to do a DNS lookup that our ISPs would have no way of seeing at all.
But in this case, Cloudflare would.
Cloudflare would.
Yeah, whatever DNS server you use would be using it. But it's important to note, Brian, that this is sort of what Cloudflare is built for. Sure. They are not, or Cloudflare's DNS is built for. They throw away all logs after 24 hours. They don't, even in those logs that they have for 24 hours, which they keep for debugging purposes, they don't store the IP address of the requester. So they know that a lookup was made for www.citibank.com and it returned, you know, whatever, you know, x.x.x.x as Citibank's IP address. And they keep that for debugging purposes in case there's some problem like, oh, well, why did we get that? Okay, let's trace that and figure out, did we get the wrong thing? That's bad. But they're not saying this came from the IP address that belongs to you at home. So that's the whole purpose of this. And well, that's the whole stated purpose of this. Cloudflare customers will actually get faster lookups because your Cloudflare is a hosting company. And now that they're running their own DNS, your hosting boxes with Cloudflare will get much faster DNS results because Cloudflare has a DNS server that's caching results from potentially millions of people, very, very local to the Cloudflare network. And so you get faster DNS lookups, which really can make a difference in terms of the responsiveness of a web server and that sort of thing. So that's their play here is we're going to give this away for free. And it does provide us some value that we can then, you know, provide to our customers. And that's obviously a good thing for them.
All right. Okay. So I went ahead and added in Cloudflare's DNS server entries on my Mac.
Okay.
Just to see how it would perform. And I even went and set them so that they're the top entries. So they're right above my OpenDNS entries. And so far, everything is working exactly as I expect. And
have you gone to OpenDNS to confirm that OpenDNS doesn't think you're using their DNS anymore?
No, but I should really go do that.
Yeah, the only reason I asked that question, and I don't know the answer to what I'm about to say here, is sometimes DNS, like when you have multiple DNS servers listed on some devices, and I don't know if the Mac falls into this, the devices will round robin those. They won't just start with the top one. I don't think the Mac does that. I think the Mac does a fallback cascade where it starts with the top one. And if that fails, then it falls back to the second or third or fourth or however many you've got listed. But sometimes I had a router for a while that did DNS round robin. And I had to turn that off in order to get OpenDNS to work. We've mentioned OpenDNS a couple of times here. OpenDNS is yet another third-party separate DNS server separate from your ISP, separate from anything else. They do track what you do, but their whole service is that they then allow you to do some filtering. So you can do things like, say, if someone tries to look up a porn site or a chat site, and you can pick these categories on their website once you log in. On my network, you want to, you say, look, on my network, I want requests to porn sites and chat sites to not resolve and instead tell the user that they're blocked on our network. Now, the easy workaround is change the DNS server on the local device and you're done, right? Mm-hmm. But there you go. And then you do get some interesting stats from them. So it's a similar service with a very different feature set target. Whereas Cloudflare's that you don't have an account, they don't track you, they don't know what you've done. OpenDNS very much tracks you. You have an account and you can configure it to customize your DNS results.
But if you don't set up an account, you can still use their DNS servers.
Totally. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. You just have no control over blocking specific content types.
Correct. My advice, if you want to use Cloudflare on your devices locally at home, I would recommend installing Cloudflare on as the DNS servers on your router, not necessarily on your devices themselves, because that way you still get the benefit. You get the benefit of Cloudflare because you're going to be requesting DNS from your router and it's going to request from Cloudflare. The benefit there is you also then get local DNS amongst your network if your router supports that, and many of them do these days. So you can, if you have a computer that you call iMac Office, you can just look it up by iMac Office instead of having to know its IP address. Whereas if you're bypassing your router's DNS, you might not get that benefit depending on how you do it. So that would be one thing. But if you're going to a coffee shop or something like that, then putting in Cloudflare's DNS is very simple to remember. It's 1.1.1.1. And you can just pop that in and then you're safe.
Yep. And if for some reason that one goes down, their fallback is 1.0.0.1.
There you go. Google has their own DNS as well, 8.8.8.8. Mm-hmm. And I think I think there's a second. I'm not going to say it because I'm not certain of what the second one is for Google. But
yeah, that's the only one that I have for theirs on my list.
Well, and was it IBM that just did 9.9.9.9 earlier this year or late last year? There's lots of people have been doing this, and Google's just been around for a long time, and I use it for troubleshooting constantly. Especially if I'm at a hotel and things get wonky or whatever, it's like, all right, 8888 done.
Yep.
But these days I'll probably default to using 1111 simply because, I like that Cloudflare specifically states that they're not going to track things, whereas I'm pretty sure Google is.
Yeah. And Dave, I'm going to take your advice and I'm going to put these DNS numbers into my router.
There you go.
Yeah. Which actually brings us to the next thing that I want to talk about today, which is the Wi-Fi mesh router thing, because you've updated your article recently where you give us the big overview of all of them, which, by the way, is so handy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And actually, before we jump into what you've done with that, Brian, are you running a mesh network at your place?
Yeah, I'm running Belkin Linksys Velop.
Okay, and I'm running
the Foxconn Velop.
Yeah, now
the Foxconn Velop. Yes, that's right. All right,
and I'm running Eero second generation. And Dave, what are you doing? Or have you settled on one specific one? Because I know you're always testing.
Yeah, these days I am running, Eero is my Wi-Fi. It's running in bridge mode here. I have a Synology router that I run as my main gateway. And that kind of allows me to abstract things out and easily test different things. So in the last, because I was updating the piece, I've had them all running recently, especially the Velop and the Netgear Orbi. So yes, I am running mesh in a variety of ways here. So,
okay. Well, and actually now I have a question for you before we dive into the rest of this. Do you know off the top of your head, if with the Velop and with the Eero, we can go in and assign our own DNS servers?
Yes, you can do that with all of these.
Okay, great. Awesome. Yep. All right. So what's new that we need to know about now in the mesh router world?
Yeah, so in recent months, Eero has added IPv6 support, which is a good thing. It's not something that's totally mandatory, but it, it will be at some point. And so it's good for all of us to just get to running that and have that out there. IPv6 allows for way more IP addresses than the IPv4 standard does, and they can sort of run in parallel to one another. So that's good. Eero in their Gen 2 products included something called a thread radio, which is similar to Zigbee, used for Internet of Things devices. Like if you get some Philips Hue bulbs, for example, they're going to have a base station that's essentially a Zigbee hub, and then your bulbs can connect with that. Eero put this thread radio in their Gen 2 devices so that as thread devices come out, I don't know that there's any yet, but there might be, that they will connect to that, and then you wouldn't need a hub, and it would save you, whatever, $75 or something. So so that's there in the latest updates from them. Amplify, which is from Ubiquiti. Ubiquiti was one of the first companies to be doing mesh Wi-Fi in the starting in the enterprise space. And then they rolled out this product that they call Amplify aimed towards consumers. And so they sort of have a different perspective on this. And it depending on how you want to do things, it can be a very good perspective because they're pushing the limits on the hardware side. They're the only ones out there that do three streams as opposed to two. So they've got that. They added some hardware NAT in there, which makes the routing happen at the hardware level as opposed to going through software, which is great for gigabit speeds on networks, which makes a difference. And they're doing some advanced roaming stuff that, that actually Eero has started doing as well, meaning that your devices can bounce from one to the other a little more easily as you move through your home, which is handy. Cool. Yeah. And then, you know, everybody's got their updates for the crack vulnerability that that came out, you know, months ago. We found out, I guess, end of summer. All of those have, it seems like, have now been tested and pushed. The sort of the big update or the big thing to watch is Netgear's Orbi. They, when they came out with Orbi, they were really focused on speed and performance. And they did some cool things with that and still do, where their backhaul, the connection between the access points, the routers, the Orbi devices, I'll say, themselves, was one of the fastest on the market, perhaps the fastest on the market. And that made things really efficient and helped. But it wasn't a true mesh product. Even if you had, like with Eero, if you've got a house that's very long, and you've got your, you know, main Eero at one side of the house, and then you've got another Eero in the middle and a third Eero at the other end of the house, more than likely the Eero at the far end of the house is going to use the middle Eero as a relay to get the signal back and forth. That's okay. That's what we call a true mesh, right? Where every device can talk to the others and it finds the best path. When Orbi came out, it was not a true mesh. It was what we call a star configuration, where everything had to talk back to the base. But because it had this super fast and super efficient backhaul, it really didn't make much of a difference for most people, even though it wasn't true mesh and even the far one had to reach back. It was still doing that at pretty decent speeds. Well, Netgear changed that, and now you can make Orbi a true mesh. And while they did that, they also added the ability to do Ethernet backhaul, meaning if you do have wires in your walls, you can use those as the thing that lets all the mesh devices or the Orbi devices communicate together, as opposed to having to do it wirelessly, which is sort of, I mean, it's built to do it wirelessly, but if you've got wires, you might as well use them. And now they support that. And so that's sort of the defining difference between the Orbi 2.0 and Orbi 2.1 firmware. The problem is, this is a major change, and since they released the first builds of the 2.1 stuff in December, it has been a long, hard road for them. It's working fine for many people, and for many people, it's just causing problem after problem after problem. So on their website, they've rolled it back. They, like, 2.0 is the firmware that you would download if you went to their support site, but on their community forums, they do, and just last week, they pushed another version of 2.1 that they're encouraging people to try as a beta. They want to get this right. They're working relatively quickly to keep these updates coming and to test them, but they're learning along the way. So it's a good system on a hardware level. I think it will be a good system on a software level, but it's rough right now.
Okay, so, but it's in their best interest to get this sorted out.
Totally, and they're committed to it, too. Yeah, it's, you know, I look at, like, Google Wi-Fi, and Google, you know, they keep rolling out some minor improvements here and there, but when I talk with them, I don't get the feeling that they're, like, really committed to this. Not that there's any problems with it. In fact, it's one of the most efficient mesh Wi-Fi systems out there in terms of speed. But it's just like, oh, yeah, we do this too. And yes, Netgear does Orbi too as well. But they are very committed to getting this right, very engaged on their community forums, very engaged with their customers. And I just don't get that feeling from say, Google. So I think Netgear will figure this out.
Cool. All right. Well, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up.
All right.
Dave, thanks for giving us such an amazing and huge information dump.
Sure thing. I hope it wasn't too much.
You know, considering it's not an hour-long show, we probably ended before we melted brains.
That's the idea.
Unless, Brian, your brain is mush.
No, this was my personal Dave session.
There you go.
Yeah. It's, well, it was our personal Dave session for everyone, which is
there awesome. One question that you, as sort of a, you know, de facto listener, Brian, but yet real time here, is there anything I missed that you think you might, and therefore or the rest of our listeners might benefit from?
Should I start using Cloudflare's DNS server?
We didn't
really answer that question.
Yeah. It's too soon, right? I mean, it literally went live yesterday. So I have all the faith in the world that it is what they say it is. I don't think I'll question that. I also have all the faith in the world that it will perform as well they say it will. That's the one where it's like, yeah, let's find out in a month how it works.
Maybe the question is who should then.
Yeah, if you're a geek, if you understand what you're doing and how to easily fix it, and you don't have family members that are going to totally freak out on you because if your DNS stops working, your internet is down. I don't care how great and how fast your connection is. If you don't have DNS working, it is over. That is the linchpin. So be careful. I think it's going to be fine. And I think in the long run, yeah, I think Cloudflare and perhaps others hopefully will do things like it. I think will work really well for people, but it's just too soon for me to give blanket advice. So hopefully that answer is the right one. Yeah, okay,
that's
cool.
That's the answer.
So for now, I'll rush in where angels fear to tread. Dave, I'm assuming you already are rushing in as well.
Well, like I said, I use OpenDNS because I like some of the filtering. So,
all right. Well, then I will rush in where angels fear to tread, and I will rely solely on Cloudflare for a little while, and let's see what happens.
Perfect. And so far, so good.
Where devils tend to mess things up.
Yeah. Oh, story of my life. All right. Well, Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Indeed. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And sorry we ran over just a little bit, but wow, what a lot of useful information. So thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.